Everybody else can turn to the book of Hosea. I'm going to give you plenty of time. You might even need to look it up in the front. Little bitty book, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. If you find the New Testament, start flipping back and you'll run into Hosea eventually. Again, if you got to look it up in the front of your Bible, A-OK. If you got a phone, it's easy. Just roll down to it. You'll find it. But we're going to look in the book of Hosea. And some of you know the Hosea story. And so you're probably wondering, what in the world are we going to talk about this morning? We've been talking about love and not being comfortable in love. And especially our godly love that we have, not being comfortable in that. Not letting love handles develop in our lives spiritually. And being the Christians that we say we are, really, and living out that kind of life. We learn from the Hosea story, though. Gomer was his wife. If you're looking for a good girl name, you're thinking of having a girl for a child, Gomer, good Bible name for a girl, if you thought about one. But when we look at the Hosea and the Gomer story, we see emphatically that God has an unfailing love for us. And we're not going to look at this so much in a marriage relationship this morning or a friend relationship or any of that. We've done that with some of the stuff we've looked at. We've kind of taken that avenue at it. But really, this is a story to Christians. This is a story to the church is what it is. It's a story to those who say they follow Jesus. And it's a promise to the church as well. But it's also a promise to those who have not yet followed Jesus and how He will respond to us with an unfailing love. Unfailing love is not something that the world does real well. Statistics tell us that overall, this is taking all divorces into consideration, about 50% of marriages end in divorce. I looked up another stat though, and this shows... how bad we are at an unfailing love. 44% of spouses will commit adultery in their marriage. 44%. And listen, maybe you're in that 44% today, and you're gonna hear some good news if you're in that 44%. And I said that, and you thought, man, now I'm gonna feel horrible. No, I want you to listen to this message. I want you to see what God does. I want you to know the heart of God through this message. But we have to know that society and the world has blurred the lines of an unfailing love and what the world would see as a failing love. They have blurred those lines, and the truth is, because the world would say there's an unfailing faithful love, but there's a failing faithless love. But God says there's only an unfailing love. I believe that's what God tells us. And there's no real failing love when we're living for the Lord. There's only, in real love, now there isn't a failing love, but it's not real love. But the real love is always, real godly love that we get from Him is always unfailing. We read this verse, this won't be on the screen, but we read this week number one. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. So anytime somebody tells you that love is a failing kind of love, that they were in a relationship and that love has failed, or they had a friendship and that love has failed, it wasn't a godly love, because real godly love never fails. Well, if you don't know the story of Hosea and Gomer, Hosea was a prophet in the Old Testament. Gomer, not so much a prophet. She was not a prophet. Probably not what you would think of as a prophet's wife. If you want to look present day, Hosea was a preacher, and Gomer was not so much what you would consider a preacher's wife. Okay? They had a marriage, and we'll see more about this in a minute, but they had a marriage that would provide every reason for a divorce. If you look at what they went through and what Gomer did and the way that she acted, you would look at that and go, well, He should have just gave up on her. He should have just ended that. Nobody should treat somebody that way. God had other plans. And we're going to see the meaning of a true, unfailing love today. Hosea and Gomer put together. That wasn't one of their kids' names, by the way. But Hosea was a prophet about 600 years before Jesus. And Hosea came for a specific reason, and God used him for this specific reason because there was a departure from godliness and morality in their society. Not only in their society, but in the Israelites, in the Jews, those people who were supposed to be God's people, who were supposed to live for God, there was a departure from godliness, and they had turned to things like physical pleasure, idolatry. They oppressed others. They trusted in their leaders, and they elevated their leaders. They even had temple prostitution, which doesn't seem like it ought to go together, but at some point they thought that that was a good idea. It actually came from other religions that were around them. We've talked about this before, about taking, say, I'm going to take Jesus, but then I'm going to take a little bit of this, I'm going to take a little bit of this, and I'm going to add it in. It never works out. It's never Jesus, and it's never the gospel when we do that. But that's what Israel had done. They had God, and they had the law. And then they said, yeah, but this group over here has been doing some of this stuff. We're going to add a little bit of that in. And that's how temple prostitution came in. These people over here have these temple prostitutes, and it makes them closer to God when they interact with these temple prostitutes. So we're going to add that in a little bit. And we look at that and we go, well, that's crazy. Why in the world? But here's what God told Hosea. In Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him. This is like day number one. Hi, Hosea, this is God. Here's what I want you to do. Go and marry a promiscuous wife. And have children of promiscuity. For the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity and by abandoning the Lord. So he went and he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. And she conceived and bore him a son. And if you read further, you know that she had another son and a daughter. They had more kids together. But the day number one of Hosea and God interacting with each other, God says, oh, by the way, I'm God. Nice to meet you. I want you to be my prophet. And while you're doing that, go find you a promiscuous girl. Y'all know Fergie? She was a promiscuous girl. That's what the song said. But it wasn't Fergie. It was. I said I wasn't going to say it, and I did. It was Gomer. It was Gomer who she found. He found. And Gomer was this known, evidently promiscuous wife whom God instructed Hosea to have. And we look at that. And we think, what am I missing in here? Like, why would God do that? Well, God's going to use Hosea as an example. And he's going to use this promiscuous wife who's not going to be faithful to him as a way to build up Hosea's story and to build up his message inside of him so that he knows what Israel is putting God through. And when you read this story, especially at the beginning, the lines are kind of blurred. Is he talking about Hosea and Gomer? Or is God talking about Israel? Well, yeah, yes. The answer is yes. Because the lines are blurred because that's what Hosea had to go through to understand completely how Israel had turned their back on God and what they were doing. And we need to look at that as well this morning. Here's what it's like. It's like, Gomer went and after she had some kids was unfaithful to Hosea again. Here's what it's like, and we would get mad at this, but it's like you having a car, and everything's perfect. It still smells new inside. The tires are good, get you everywhere you want to go. It's got every gadget on it. Everything's perfect, but the radio doesn't work. So you go and say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna trade this in. And I'm gonna find something that the radio works. And so you come home and you've got this bomb that you brought home that the tires are bald and the speakers are blown and the rust is all over the car, and panels are falling off. It's like Aaron Tippin's song. The wipers don't work, and the horn don't blow, but there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. There's two music references this morning, if y'all are counting. You didn't, probably some of you didn't get the first one, but the second one you got, Aaron Tippin, I get it. But that's how Gomer acted. I've got everything I need right here. I've got a husband that loves me. I've got kids. But there's a little part of me that wants that old life. I've got the perfect car. It does everything I want to do. It gets me everywhere I want to go. Still smells new. Everything's perfect on it. But the radio just doesn't work. So I'm going to give it all up for this bomb of a car that the radio works. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5, here's the actual thing that, again, this is the lines are blurry between, is this God talking about Israel because they've been unfaithful, or is this Hosea talking about Gomer because she's been unfaithful? Actually, this is about Israel, but here's what it said. She said, I'll go after my lovers. Remember, she's a married woman who has had everything given to her. Everything's perfect. Israel is a people. The Jewish people are a people who God has given everything to, and chance after chance. And both of them say, I'll go after my lovers. The men who gave me my food and my water and my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink, who Gomer had all of that in Hosea. And Israel had all of that in God. He had given them everything they needed, even more than they needed. He had grace and mercy on them. Hosea had grace and mercy on Gomer for the life that she had lived, and looked past that and made her his wife. And God made Israel his people. And we look at that and we think, well, if that's Gomer, that's horrible. She's a horrible person. Can't believe she would do something like that. Can't she see that she has real love right in front of her? How could somebody be like that? But when we walk down the line, Gomer is Israel. And Gomer, if we walk further down the line, is also not just God's people. Then Gomer is significant of God's people even now. The church. Church people. People who call themselves Christians. We're Gomer. So many times we're Gomer. And we have everything right there that God has given us, and everything that Jesus has done for us, and we know real love. But we leave it for an old beat-up car that rattles and rusts down the road just because the radio works. It's what we do. It's what we do as people every day. Spiritually, we do the same thing. Here's what it sounds like. Can I give you some examples? We say, well, I've been kind of tired. I'm going to sleep in. That's better than being with my church family and worshiping. I'm just going to stay home today. I'm just going to do that. Well, I'm mad at somebody, so I'm going to ignore them instead of trying to lovingly talk to them and work the problem out. I'm going to be all about me today. I'm going to take that route. Well, I don't like what the Bible says about, just fill in the blank. It could be anything, right? We do that all the time. I don't like what the Bible says about this, so I'm going to take what somebody else says and listen to them to be the truth. I'm going to take this guy that came up on my TikTok feed because he acts like he knows what he's talking about and he's well-spoken. And even though the Bible doesn't say that, I'm going to believe him instead of believing what the Bible says. I know I should be growing spiritually, but I'm kind of comfortable how I am right now, so I'm just going to kind of let it ride. Maybe you say, you know, I know Jesus is good. I know he's nice. I know he did some good stuff, but I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. And that kind of attitude, the same attitude that Gomer had in her relationship with Hosea, the same attitude that Israel had, or the Jews had, in their relationship with God, that same attitude and behavior is called by two words, and those two words are this: spiritual adultery. You and I, maybe 44% of people commit adultery on their spouses. 100% of people commit adultery on Jesus. 100% of us. You say, oh no, not me. No, I would never do that. You've done it. You've done it. You have given your lives to Jesus and then turned to something else at some point in your life. If not, you're perfect. And nobody in here is perfect, because we came to salvation because we knew we weren't perfect. We came to know Jesus because we knew we didn't have it all together. If we didn't have it all together then, we don't have it all together now. So you and I have to watch out for that spiritual adultery. And God has two main responses to spiritual adultery. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Because we're all there, we've all done it, and we all have to understand. And then there's two people in here this morning. There's one person who has given their life to Jesus and has spiritually committed adultery on God Himself because you've went and searched out other things, or you've done things for your own pleasure, not following what God wants you to do. You've committed spiritual adultery. Or Jesus is sitting there with His arms wide open for you today. He wants you to come and be saved. He wants you to turn your life over to Him. And you just turned a blank eye to Him every time. You just turned a cold shoulder to Him every time. I don't need Jesus. I don't want to do it. That's still spiritual adultery. And you don't even know it. So two of us, and all of us are in this room today. Every single person is one of those two. Either you've followed Jesus and you've not really followed Him that well at different times, or you've never followed Jesus and He's the only one for you. He's sitting there with His arms wide open. Romans chapter 9 says God spread open His arms to a disobedient generation, just disobedient people. You're one of those people. He's ready to swoop you up and love you this morning. So we're all guilty of spiritual adultery. The first response God has, we're going to see it in Hosea chapter 2, is righteous anger. Now you might say, well, I've been angry at somebody. But there's a difference in anger and righteous anger. Let's look in Hosea 2, verse 8 through 10. She does not recognize, again, this is could be both Hosea talking about Gomer or God talking about His people, the Jews, okay? She does not recognize that it is I who gave her the grain, the new wine, all the stuff she wants, the oil. I lavished silver and gold on her, but they used it for Baal, which was a false god that their neighbors worshipped. And so they went and worshipped. They used everything God gave them and went and worshipped some other god. Therefore, I will take back my grain in its time and my new wine in its season. I will take away my wool and linen, which were to cover their nakedness. Now I will expose her shame in the sight of her lovers, and no one will rescue her from my hands. God had every right to be angry. And if you want to translate that to Hosea and Gomer, Hosea had every right to be angry. Just like Hosea had to watch Gomer go back to the men that she had been with before, God had to watch Israel again go back to the people and to the gods who weren't real, to the people who used them, who weren't godly. He had to watch them go back to them and run away from His goodness. He had given all those good things to them, love, shelter, food, jewelry, clothes, and they just ran away. And so in God's anger, He says, I'm going to expose them. I'm going to expose her shame, maybe expose her nakedness. I'm going to show her the Israel in the state that she's really in. I'm going to embarrass her in the way that she's living life. And in all of those things that happen, you know what's not going to happen? Those quote-unquote lovers, those other people outside of Israel, aren't going to come back for Israel and save them and love on them and take care of them. In the Hosea and Gomer thing, Hosea would say, listen, I'm going to embarrass her. I'm mad. I'm going to expose her. And whenever I take all this stuff away from her, you know who's not going to come? All those lovers, all those men she went back to. They're not going to lift a finger to help her. And to Israel specifically, he said, I'm going to expose your sin. That's pretty scary. I'm going to expose your sin. I'm going to let you be embarrassed by the sin that you've chosen to live in. And that sin would have been stuff like idols that they had put up. It would have been worship of other gods. It would have been hypocrisy. It would have been a way of self-flattery, almost saying, you know, I'm good enough. I don't need this God thing. I don't need God. And righteous anger is what brings that on. Now, righteous anger is not like regular anger. Righteous anger is just an overwhelming love for what is good and what is godly. It's a frustration about things that are not good and godly. That's righteous anger. And that's what Hosea had for Gomer. That's what God had for the people of Israel. It's not an anger of screaming and yelling and throwing things, but it's just a disgust with how things are and a desire to see godliness return. God always has a righteous anger about sin and ungodliness in our lives. Whether we've lived in it for years or whether we're just struggling with something now, God always has a righteous anger about sin and ungodliness. You know why? Because He hates sin. He hates ungodliness. It's always His response to sinfulness. And if you think about it, we kind of understand that. Those of us that are parents or have been parents, when you discipline your kids, you want them to know what's right and why to do that, right? That's why you do it. I want my kids to be like Jesus. That's why I discipline them. I mean, that's probably a reason why you discipline your kids or have disciplined your kids. We're not talking about an anger of yelling or necessarily. We just want to make sure with our kids that they know that our desire for them is to know right over wrong. That's why we discipline them. It's what God is doing to Israel. It's what He's talking about. That's what righteous anger is. But then there's a second response other than just anger. Because you can think, well, that God, He's just going to be angry at everything because all I do is sin. That's all I can do. I don't have any goodness inside of me. I mess up all the time, so He's just going to be angry at me all the time? He'll be angry at your sin, yeah. But there's a second thing that you need to hear this morning. A second way He responds, and that's with unfailing love. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. He just talked about how God, talking about Israel, just talked about how disgusted He was. Hosea is probably sharing that same disgust with Gomer. But listen to what it says. Listen to what he says about Israel. Therefore, and usually when he's just given Israel down the road, right? And so you would think when he says therefore, it's going to be therefore, I'm going to blow him off the planet, right? There's going to be some sort of judgment coming. But look what he says. Therefore, I'm going to persuade her. I'm going to lead her out into the wilderness. And I'm going to scream like crazy. No, I'm going to speak tenderly to her. Talking about Israel. I'm going to give her vineyards back. And I'm going to make the valley of Achor into a gateway of hope. Then she'll respond as she did in the days of her youth. As in the days she came out of the land of Egypt. Remember how in love they were, and how much they followed God the moment they came out of Egypt? You go back and read that story. And then they messed up not long after that. I mean, they forgot about it pretty quick. But they sure were on God's team whenever they left Egypt, when he released them from Egypt and from slavery. And he says, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna speak tenderly. I'm gonna speak to the heart of Israel and Hosea about Gomer. I'm gonna speak to her heart. I'm going to get to the basis of my love for her even after the unfaithfulness has happened. The Jews had turned their back on God. They had worshipped other gods. All the goods and riches He had blessed them with, they had used that to worship other gods. It wasn't just that they turned and went and did something else. They used all the stuff God gave them on these fake gods that gave them nothing. And of course, Hosea, all the stuff he had lavished Gomer with, and a loving, godly relationship, and children, and a loving husband. Even after all that unfaithfulness, he said, I'm going to speak tenderly to her. I'm going to speak tenderly to Israel. I'm going to give her back all the things that I'm going to take away. I'm going to give her hope. I'm going to restore Israel. Hosea said, I'm going to restore Gomer. We're going to give him hope. That means you believe in something that you know to be true. He's going to bring them back. with an unfailing love. An unfailing love. That's the only kind of love, by the way, that God gives, is an unfailing love. But the truth about all that is, when we relate it back to us, obviously, we need some righteous anger thrown our way sometimes. We need it. We know God is angry at the sin in our life. We know He hates the sin in our life. We know He wants us to come back to Him. Maybe you don't know this morning, but that same God that's angry at your sin has an unfailing love for you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to speak tenderly to you. God keeps coming after you. In Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Hosea talking said, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again and show love to a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes.'" That's always been funny to me. I'm like, who cares about raisin cakes? But evidently that was bad. Okay, so if you like to eat raisin cakes, you might want to change your diet. I don't know. God talks about it in there. So I don't get it. I'm not a theologian as far as that goes. I don't know about raisin cakes. "So I bought her," Hosea, "I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and 5 bushels of barley." Now, you maybe don't today know what all that means. I looked it up. 5 bushels of barley would have been about 40 gallons of barley, I think. And that would have been about 15 shekels worth. And 30 shekels would have been about 6 months' pay for a normal person. So think about what you make in a year and divide that by half. And this person who has done everything against you they could have done to hurt your feelings and to throw your love away and to stomp on you and stomp on your heart and to do everything against you, you're going to take half your salary and go, "You know what? But I'm going to buy them back." Not go to your wife and say, "Hey, you're coming back with me, girlfriend. You're not going to do this anymore. You're coming back to my house," and drag her home. No, he went and bought her back. And then you jump back over to God in Israel. And Israel, who had done all this stuff against God, who had turned their back on Him time and time again, he's saying the same thing. He's saying, "I'm going to do that with Israel as well. It's going to be a big price, but we're going to do it. I've done it with Israel, and now you're going to do it with Gomer." And that was the moment where Hosea understood what God's mission was. He understood what God's message was to the people of Israel. He had no doubt how God was showing that unfailing love to the people of Israel. He had no doubt how God keeps coming after him. We ought to have no doubt reading that, how God keeps coming after us. He'll come after us time and time again. He'll buy us back. He did that with Jesus' life on a cross. He gave His Son's life to buy us back. In our sinfulness, Jesus died for us. He comes after us, but He's not going to force His love on us. He's not going to force us to love Him. But He comes after us. And did you know in verse 3, as Hosea talks about the way he's going to approach Gomer, shows us a way that we ought to be living for Jesus. We remember that He loves us, remember that He's angry about our sin, but He comes after us with an unfailing love and keeps coming and keeps coming. He gave His Son for us because He loves us and bought us back. But now we must live for Him. Look what He says in verse 3 of chapter 3. He said, "I said to her, 'You must live with me many days. Don't be promiscuous or belong to any man, and I will act the same way towards you.'" Look what he says there. He says, you've got to live with me. That's the first way we have to know that we're living our lives for Jesus. We got to live for him. We got to abide in him. We got to be content with Jesus. We got to remain, continue, stay with Jesus. We've got to make a point to do that. And then he says, don't go be promiscuous. In other words, he's telling us, don't go give your love to somebody else. Don't live your life for somebody else.
Save yourself only for God. Save yourself only what the Holy Spirit would lead you to do. Don't follow these TikTok preachers that you see. Don't follow this thought that you have in your mind. Don't listen to this other person. Look what Scripture says. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you and follow me. Hosea is saying to Gomer, show me that you love me. Don't just talk about it. Don't just give me lip service. And that's what God's saying to us. He's saying, Gomer, don't lean on the good old days whenever we used to love each other at the beginning of marriage and you had three kids for me before you ran off. Let's not lean on those good old days. God's saying that to Israel, you know, don't think about when we left Egypt and how excited everybody was and how much you loved me then, because it didn't last long because you were complaining not long after that. Let's not lean on that. Don't think about what could be. Show me that you're living for me. That's what Hosea is saying to Gomer. It's what God's saying to the people of Israel. It's what Jesus is saying to us. Show me that you live for me. Somebody who chooses not to live like that, somebody who chooses not to abide in Jesus and be content with Jesus, somebody who chooses not to stop running around on God and stop running around and giving your love to other people other than Jesus, other things other than Jesus, somebody who chooses not to live like that, that person isn't living for Jesus. He keeps coming after you, but you're not living for him. And either there's no relationship with Jesus or your relationship with him has been broken. But there's only one way to live, and that's for Jesus. And it's amazing to me that in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we live, in all the sin in our lives, Jesus keeps coming back after us. Just like Homer, just like Hosea did with Gomer, just like God did with Israel, just like Jesus does with us. Keeps coming after us and coming after us and coming after us. How do you need to respond to that today? Because we said at the beginning, we're all guilty of spiritual adultery. Every one of us in here have taken God's goodness and thrown it out the window. Every one of us in here have taken the love that Jesus has for us and pushed it aside for the love of something else. All of us in here have struggled with sin. Some of us in here have never given our lives to Jesus. Some of us in here have never turned our lives over to him. And for somebody who keeps coming after you, that's spiritual adultery. They want you. They know they're the only one for you, and yet you won't turn your life to them. Which one of those are you this morning? Number one, you got to figure that out. Do you know Jesus? You need to stay on track with him, or do you need to have a relationship with Jesus? Do you need to give your life to him today? Do you need to let him forgive you and let him give you a new heart? Let him give you a new life? Do you need that to happen today? You could do that. I'll show you here at the end when we're singing. I'll show you in the Bible what it means to follow Jesus. If you got questions, you can come down. If you just want to come pray, you can do that. I guarantee you one way all of us can be better is by sharing our faith. I guarantee you one way we can all be better is by inviting somebody to church with us next Sunday. And these postcards are down here. These little invite cards are down here. If you didn't get to come down before, you come down now. You come down when we start to sing. Come down and pick one of these up. Pick three of them up. Take however many you need. Get them out this week. Otherwise, we wasted $80 on printing these things off and we're not going to use them. So if you're worried about our church finances, give these things out. I'm more worried about people that don't know Jesus, honestly. I'm more worried about people that need to have a good church family. I'm worried about people that don't know about that unfailing love of Jesus. That's what I'm worried about. That's why I'm going to give these cards out this week. That's why I'm going to invite people to come to hear the good news of Jesus next week. So, which one are you? Do you need Jesus today? Do you need to turn back to him today? Do you need to trust him with your life today? You just need to understand his unfailing love a little bit better. Which one is it? Which one of those is it? One will pray for us, and then we'll have our closing song. And y'all just move however the Spirit moves you. We again, come down and pray over these cards that are down here. Pray specifically. Maybe you're like me and you don't know exactly who's going to get yours yet. Come down and pray that. Pray that God would lead you to somebody this week that needs to have a good church home. Maybe somebody needs to know Jesus. Pray over them. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we love you. We're thankful that you have an unfailing love for us. And seeing the story of Hosea and Gomer is such a strange story in so many ways. And when we realize what it means, and when we see the love that you had for Israel, even when they turned on you, the love that Hosea had for Gomer, even when she went back to her old ways and went back to prostitution. And Lord, we think about your goodness and how you gave your life for us, and you bought us with the price of your life. Your unfailing love for us is so amazing. We're so thankful for it, Jesus. Lord, if we're really thankful for it, help us to show that. Help me to show it in the way that I live, in the way that I forgive others, in the way that I love others, in the way that I invite other people to come to know you, Jesus. Whatever it might be, you work. You work, Jesus. Work in our lives individually. Work in our church. Lord, help us to be a church that understands the importance of your unfailing love. Help us to invite other people into that. Jesus, you just move in this time. Help us to respond. We ask it in your name. Amen.